If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, as we continue in our series, Why Jesus? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. Solomon writes, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank You for Your Word. I just thank You, Lord, that You have given our lives purpose and meaning by coming to You and knowing You and serving You with all the gifts and talents You've given us. And I pray You'd remind us of that this morning. Pray remind us, Lord, that meaning and purpose is not found in anything in this world. I don't care what it is, how much it is. I pray, Lord, that we would just be focused on You today and draw closer to You because of it. Pray You'd come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit and open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. Salon.com recently came out with a list of some of the greatest unexplained mysteries of life. And here's just a few. In a country of free speech, why do we still have phone bills? If olive oil comes from olives, where does baby oil come from? Why do they put Braille on the drive-through bank machines? If you throw a cat out the car window, does it become kitty litter? How do you know when it's time to tune your bagpipes? And finally, this one, as serious as a heart attack for way too many people all over the world, what is the meaning of life? Does life have any meaning at all? And if it does, where in the world do you go to find it? And does it even matter a hill of beans if you do? Those kind of questions. And people all over the world are asking him and wondering what in the world is going on? Where are we going to find the answers? Well, the Bible tells us that life does have meaning and purpose, and you'll find it in Jesus Christ. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us why. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series simply called Why Jesus? Looking at all kinds of reasons why, in this pluralistic world that we're living in, we should believe in only Jesus and serve only Jesus. And today we see that we should believe in Jesus because only Jesus Christ gives us real meaning and purpose in life. And to see that, we turn this morning to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. King Solomon wrote this book of Ecclesiastes, and all throughout he tells us that life is meaningless without God. And the text we have in front of us this morning, the theme of this whole book, tells us why. Because God has placed eternity in our hearts and created us with a desire for meaning and purpose that goes far beyond anything this world has to offer. And the Holy Spirit is telling us this morning we will find that purpose and meaning in Jesus Christ. Our text this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, tells us three reasons why Jesus Christ gives us meaning and purpose in life. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why Jesus gives us purpose and meaning is because Jesus tells us who we are. And that's exactly what Solomon says here that we need. Now, all throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon constantly uses that phrase, under the sun. So he's not talking about life above the sun where God is. He's talking about life under the sun on the earth where man is. So not life from God's perspective, life from man's perspective without God. So chapter 1, verse 2, he says, everything is vanity, including us human beings. So we human beings are about as meaningless as an outfielder in T-ball. But see, chapter 3 verse 11, he tells us that God has placed eternity in our hearts. So we know we're not as worthless as Pedro Strop in a save opportunity. Because we know who we are and how we have been created by God. But see, too many people in our world today don't believe that because they think we human beings just came from evolution. That's how we got here. And the latest so-called proof for evolution is something called Homo naledi. Some bones found in a cave in South Africa of a creature about 4 feet tall, about 80 pounds, with a brain the size of a tangelo. Oh, scientists say, there's proof of human evolution. No, because there is absolutely nothing human about the DNA in those bones at all. It's just an old ape. There's human beings and there's apes. Two different groups, never the twain shall meet, just exactly like God created way back in the beginning. But scientists still say that we human beings evolved. And they say we're still evolving to this day. British researchers say that so many people these days are constantly looking down at their phones, holding their heads and necks at such odd angles, people are actually growing bone spurs at the bases of their skull. See, that's proof that human beings are still evolving. No, it isn't. That's just their bodies compensating for strained neck muscles. Folks, when people's right hands start evolving into smartphones, then come talk to me about evolution. Evolution says there is no God. And everything got here by blind, random, purposeless chance. So we human beings are just freaks of nature. From goo to you by way of the zoo. No love, no hate, no right, no wrong, no good, no bad, no meaning or purpose. Just chemical reactions in your brain that help keep the species alive. But see, the people who push evolution don't want to talk about the real implications, do they? That evolution book that John Scopes, the high school teacher, used in Tennessee, the subject of the Scopes trial in 1926, was called Civic Biology. And it taught that strong people should eliminate the weak people in order to preserve the gene pool. Natural selection. And human life is about as worthless as a white crayon. But see, even though evolutionists say evolution does make human life meaningless, they still say it's worthwhile. They still say it's worth living. The New York Times writes this: in one piece of the sky, the size of an eraser head, there are trillions more stars and 30,000 more galaxies. So how insignificant are you? You are not special. You are just another piece of decaying matter on the compost pile of this world. Nothing you do in this short time you are here will matter. And everything short of that realization is empty fantasy. So celebrate life and love without reservation. Celebrate life! Are you kidding me? If that doesn't want to make you take yourself out, I don't know what would. People, do we understand the result of believing that life is meaningless? Right now, there's an epidemic of loneliness sweeping across America. People with 1,000 so-called friends on Facebook who still feel all alone. And do you know why so many of those people feel all alone and lonely? Because they miss God. They are lonely for God. See, God without man is still God. But man without God is nothing. Because we human beings need a God out there to tell us who we really are. People love evolution today because it gets rid of God. But then they don't replace Him with anything else that gives us human beings any identity or any reason for living at all. But verse 11, we have that eternity in our heart. That God-given awareness of and a desire for a God out there who's a lot bigger and stronger and better than we are. Every one of us has it inside. We've been created with that. That National Geographic special, Story of God, was watched by more people than any other special that National Geographic has ever done. And even though it was cockeyed and inaccurate, it proves people are hungry for God. Amen. Composer Leonard Bernstein said certain pieces of classical music gave him a strange sense of the presence of the Lord. That's that eternity in his heart. Kim and Kanye West, who are more self-absorbed than a Bounty paper towel, named their last little boy Psalm because they said the whole experience brought them closer to God. People, that's that eternity in their hearts. And it's that that tells us who we really are. The picture you see on the screen there, upper left, is the famous stained glass rose window in York Cathedral in York, England. Absolutely, incredibly gorgeous. Now, does anybody know what that thing is just to the right of it? That is a cross-cut section of one strand of your DNA. Even more incredibly beautiful and gorgeous. Meaningless gob of goo? I don't think so. You are not an animal. You may eat like a horse, have a memory like an elephant, and go to bed with the chickens, but you're not an animal. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you are God's workmanship, God's masterpiece. You are a special creation of God, Psalm 139, verse 14. Created one notch lower than the angels and crowned with glory and honor, Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, all things were made by Him and for Him. All things were created by Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ. You were created to know God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the meaning and purpose of your life. And if you don't believe that, then you get that. Last April the 20th was the 20th anniversary of the Columbine Massacre. Columbine High School, suburban Denver, Colorado, when two 17-year-old students in that school, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, went on a killing spree that they had planned for 2 years and shocked the world by killing 12 other students and one teacher. And they planned on killing a lot more because they had placed pipe bombs all over that school and had hundreds of rounds of ammo for their 9mm and sawed-off shotguns. And in their journals, they talked about bombing roads and bridges and gas stations. They were ready to start a war. But see, when the police got to that school, they got scared and just killed themselves, committed suicide. One of the worst school shootings in U.S. history up to that point. And why did they do it? Because for years and years, a lot of other kids in that school had bullied them and picked on them, especially in the cafeteria where most of the killings took place. And because they were depressed. And because they were fascinated with that Woody Harrelson movie, Natural Born Killers, and that video game called Doom. And because they absolutely worshiped Adolf Hitler and the Nazis so much, they even spoke German to each other. But you know what the biggest motivation was of all for them? What Nazi Germany was fascinated with. Evolution. Natural selection. Survival of the fittest. And the strong should take out the weak. Because over and over and over again in their journals and on their websites, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold quoted things that came right out of Charles Darwin. Eric Harris said this, "You know what I love? Natural selection. It's the best thing to happen to the earth, getting rid of all the weak and stupid organisms." Dylan Klebold said this, "We are the super race, the supermen. And we will let natural selection take its course so the human race can be proud of itself." And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now saying, "Kevin, evolution didn't have anything to do with Columbine." It didn't. Do you know what Eric Harris specifically, purposely chose to wear to school that day when he perpetrated those murders? Police saw it on him when they found his body in the library. A t-shirt that had this written on it, "Natural Selection." Bingo. And people, if evolution is true, then why shouldn't those guys have killed so many people? If there is no God and there's no right and wrong and human beings are just slime, hey, law of the jungle, dog eat dog, survival of the fittest, baby. Because even if your biology teacher will never admit it, that's what evolution is. So let me ask you, do you want that or do you want the truth? That all human life is precious because there is a God and you are a special creation of God. Worth so much, Jesus Christ died on a cross to save your soul. Fellow human beings, you tell me, who are we? The first reason why Jesus Christ gives meaning and purpose in life is because Jesus tells us who we are. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why Jesus gives purpose and meaning in life. Not only because Jesus tells us who we are, but because Jesus also tells us what we're doing here. And this is something that King Solomon needed to know as well. Because King Solomon was like the Pope and Bill Gates and Hugh Hefner all rolled up into one. Filthy rich, fanciest crib in the world, Rhodes Scholar, top 10 songwriter, had 700 wives and 300 porcupines and partied like it was 999 BC. He had the world by the tail. And what did he say about it all? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 14, it was nothing but a meaningless chasing after the wind. We got that eternity in our hearts, people. That's something that nothing in the whole wide world could ever satisfy. And sadly enough, too many people today just constantly keep themselves so distracted, they don't even have to think about it. And our world today has buku things to help them stay distracted. Now that show Game of Thrones is over, 30 million people in America watch that show every single week. Now that it's over, 40 million people watch the show Stranger Things every week. And before that, it was Mad Men. And before that, it was Breaking Bad. And before that, it was The Sopranos. We could go on and on. Right now, there are 1,300,000,000 videos on YouTube. And 5 more hours worth of videos gets uploaded there every single second. People have lost themselves in YouTube videos, wasting their time on things that don't satisfy, not spending any time at all with Jesus Christ, the only thing that does satisfy. On social media right now is the bottle cap kipping challenge. And before that, it was bottle flipping. And before that, it was Kiki dancing. The ice bucket challenge. Tide Pods, duct tape, cinnamon eating. And before that, it was Pokemon Go. And it never quits. And right now, it's Peloton and avocados and chewable Viagra and that stupid Charmin commercial that says, enjoy the go. Never thought about it like that before in my entire life. Talk about a distraction. And people, there's no end to them. So just keep checking your phone every 5 seconds. Just keep scrolling your Instagram pictures. Just keep changing your profile picture. Just keep TV on, and maybe, just maybe, you can cover up that emptiness that's in your heart for a while. But it will never change the fact that without God, we human beings have no clue whatsoever why we're here. Not even the eggheads among us. Dear Abby, I am a member of Mensa, an organization made up of the smartest, most intellectually gifted people from all over the world. But I do have a question for you that I've never been able to answer. Why are we human beings here? They have no clue at all about the meaning of life. None. Let me ask you this morning, what's the meaning of your life? What are you living for? Well, Kevin, family and friends and my job and pets and sports, is there anything wrong with that? No. Verse 11 here says God makes all things like that beautiful in their time and gives us good things like that so we can enjoy them, but they never satisfy us because those things don't last. The average human being in America now only lives 73 years before they die. That's not a long time. And they work 5 different jobs through the course of a lifetime. The average dog in America only lives 8 years. The Chicago Cubs won the World Series, but that was 3 years ago in 2016, and the glory has faded. And there's no guarantee they're ever going to win it again. So even the things we like the most won't satisfy us forever because they don't last forever. Only Jesus can, because only Jesus does. What are you living for? You living for your job? Now that show Game of Thrones is over, actors from that show, Kit Harington and Sophie Turner and Maisie Williams, they're in therapy. Because for them, that show was their life. The suicide rate in America right now for retired white men ages 65 to 68 is 4 times the national average. And you know why? Because those men made their job their life. And once their job is over, their life is over. What are you living for? You living for popularity? Pop singer Katy Perry became the first human being to ever have 100 million followers on Twitter. Big accomplishment, but you know what she says about it? All Twitter accounts are fake. All the tweets and retweets are just manufactured, superficial nonsense that doesn't represent any real friendship or connection with people at all. They're basically meaningless and do absolutely nothing to really make you happy. Sounds just like King Solomon, nothing but a meaningless chasing after the wind. You can't live for social media because it gives you Facebook depression. You can't live for music because the number one rock and roll song of all time, Rolling Stones, can't get no satisfaction. How appropriate. How's that for life in America today? The commercial for Snickers bars says Snickers satisfies you. Your hunger, but not the nagging feeling in the back of your mind that you'll never amount to anything and will almost certainly die alone. No satisfaction from Snickers at all. It can't do it. You living for money? Vin Baker played 13 years in the NBA. Four-time All-Star, one of the best offensive forwards in the game, and made $100 million during his career. But today, Vin Baker is 43 years old, flat broke, and working at a Starbucks in Seattle, Washington, just to make a living. People, how in the world do you blow through $100 million? I'll tell you how. Because you've got no clue why you're really here. Because money is not the meaning of your life. Because Jesus Christ is the meaning and purpose of our lives. King Solomon wrote this book 1,000 years before Jesus Christ ever came to this earth, and yet every single thing in this book all points to Him. Your purpose and meaning is in Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jesus has a plan for your life. Plans that He came up with even before you were born. Psalm 139, verse 16. He's given you gifts and talents and abilities. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. So you can do those good works which He prepared in advance for you to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And what happens if you blow off Jesus Christ and ignore the purpose that He has for you? Gisele Bündchen is one of the highest paid Victoria's Secret models in the entire world. Married to Hall of Fame quarterback Tom Brady, one of the highest paid athletes in the entire world. Power couple, she's got a name and a face known all over the world. She's on magazine covers all over the planet. Lives in a $47 million mansion and is so fanatically health conscious, her children are literally afraid of candy and chocolate. She has everything the world says she needs to be happy. And yet Gisele Bündchen tells People magazine she has struggled with suicidal tendencies because she knows there is something in her life that has never yet been fulfilled. And you know why? Because Gisele Bündchen was created by Jesus Christ with a hole in her heart that only Jesus Christ can fill. And you know what? You were created that way too. People, listen to me. Life is not about the newest phone, the latest app, the hottest boyfriend or girlfriend, or the coolest restaurant. Life is not about finding yourself. Life is about finding Jesus Christ and the reason why He put you here. And the only question is, when are you going to turn to Him and find out what your life is really all about? Life is about knowing and serving Jesus. And if you don't have that, nothing else in the whole wide world will ever, ever, ever make up for that. I don't care who you are. I don't care what it is. The greatest baseball player in the history of the major leagues, hurt or healthy, drunk or sober, was Mickey Mantle of the New York Yankees. 18-time All-Star, 3-time American League MVP. He won 7 World Series championships. Power hitter from both sides of the plate. He hit 536 home runs, including the longest home run in baseball history. And even though he played his entire career with osteomyelitis in his left leg and a torn ACL in his right knee because doctors back in the 1950s had no idea how to fix him, nobody in baseball could outrun him. Chased down all kinds of fly balls in cavernous center field of old Yankee Stadium. And when he retired, he finished with the highest stolen base percentage of anybody in the game. Mickey Mantle could do it all. Always humble, never threw a bat, always ran the bases after a home run with his head down so as not to show up the pitcher. Did all kinds of things for charity, reached out to thousands of kids, gave away tons of money, and would stand for hours signing autographs for fans who flocked to him everywhere he went. He was the Mick, and people absolutely loved him. But Mickey Mantle's personal life was an absolute mess. Raised by an abusive father, he drank like a fish his entire career. married an alcoholic wife named Merlin, who he cheated on multiple times. They had four sons together. But because Mickey Mantle never had a role model for a father, he didn't know how to be a father, so the only way he could relate to his kids was by drinking with them. Former Yankee teammate and best friend, Bobby Richardson, who became a Baptist minister after his career, said Mickey Mantle always had a sadness about him and about everything he did. He was Mickey Mantle, people! The greatest baseball player who ever lived. He played in 12 World Series. Name and a face known all over the world, mobbed by fans everywhere he went, but it wasn't enough. Because Mickey Mantle, just like every single one of us, had eternity in his heart, and nothing in the whole wide world could ever fill that up. Then in 1994, Mickey Mantle was interviewed by Bob Costas on NBC. Mickey Mantle had just gotten out of the Betty Ford Clinic being treated for alcoholism. He had just lost his youngest son, Billy, to a heart attack. One of his good friends, former teammate Roger Maris, had just passed away. Toward the end of that interview, Mickey Mantle said this.
Ever say to yourself, wait a minute, I'm one of the best ball players of all time. I've made a significant amount of change doing this. I'm financially secure. People seem to love me. Why don't I feel better?
Maybe I do, in the back of my mind, feel like I've let everybody down some way or other. I know there is something in there that's not fulfilled or something. I don't know what it is, Bob. I can't explain it.
Let's hope you've got a lot of years left to continue to write chapters in your life. What do you hope for? What should people think in the end?
I hope that people at the end will say, he turned out all right. I'm proud that I named my son Mickey. That would be nice.
Did you catch that? He said there's got to be something inside there, something that has never been fulfilled or something. But I don't know what it is. I know what it is. That's that eternity. That's that hole in Mickey Mantle's heart that only Jesus Christ could fill. Exactly 1 year after that interview took place, Mickey Mantle was diagnosed with liver cancer. And he called his best friend, Bobby Richardson, and his wife, Betsy, to come visit him at Baylor Medical Center in Dallas, Texas. And 3 days before Mickey Mantle died at the age of 63, August 13th, 1995, Bobby Richardson led him in prayer. Mickey Mantle confessed his sins and asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart and be his Savior. He got saved. And the very last thing that Mickey Mantle said to Bobby Richardson was this, right before he died, for the first time in my whole life, I have peace. People, all the fame and the glory in the whole wide world could never fill that hole in your heart or give you a real purpose and a real reason for living. But Jesus Christ can. And to do that, Jesus has given you all kinds of gifts and talents and abilities to use for His glory. You use those for your own purposes, they mean nothing. You use them for God's purposes, they mean everything. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12, that we might be for the praise of His glory. People, that is the reason why you are here. The second reason why Jesus gives purpose and meaning in life is because Jesus tells us what we're doing here. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why Jesus gives purpose and meaning in life. Not only because Jesus tells us who we are, not only because Jesus tells us what we're doing here, but third, because Jesus tells us where we're going when we die. And that's exactly what King Solomon needed to know too. Verse 11, we have that eternity in our heart. So even though we know things don't last forever, we know that we human beings do last forever. 3 out of 4 Americans, even non-Christians, believe there is some kind of life after death, whether it's nirvana, the happy hunting ground, whatever. So we have that knowledge of eternity in our heads and that hope for eternity in our hearts. And that's a good thing. Because, folks, if we didn't have that, then death makes life meaningless. Because if life is just going to end in death, what's the point of living to start with? Back in 1998, when my dad, Robert Garner, was terminal with a brain tumor, We'd always try to cheer him up by saying things to him like, "Hey, Dad, the Cubs won today." And he would say, "So what? I'm dying." Kind of puts everything in life into perspective, doesn't it? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9. Human beings don't die any different than dogs or cats or gerbils or goldfish. So what's the point? Life is meaningless. You live your entire life and you bust your tail. You do everything you can to reach out to the people around you. You do everything you can to take care of the people that you love the most. And then you die. And they have a funeral service. And they put your body in a box and bury you 6 feet under the ground. Then everybody has a ham sandwich, goes back home, and acts like you never ever even were on the green side of the grass to start with. So what's the point? What does it matter? Life is meaningless. Pop singer Prince died back in April of 2016. And to this day, his six brothers and sisters are still fighting over his $300 million estate. Solomon says, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18, you work your entire life. And when you die, everything you worked for is given to people who didn't work for it at all. What's the point? Why do it? Why even go to work every day? Life is meaningless. And the way people die. 49-year-old Jason Spindler was working for Salomon Brothers Bank at the World Trade Center in New York City and survived the collapse of the Twin Towers on 9/11. But then last January the 16th, he was one of 14 people killed by al-Shabaab terrorists at a luxury hotel in Nairobi, Kenya. He survived the worst terrorist attack on American soil, only to be killed by other terrorists on foreign soil. What is that? Like some kind of a joke? God saved him one time, but he couldn't save him again? And even if God had saved him a second time, Jason Spindler would have still died someday, somehow, of something else. So what's the point? Life is as meaningless as the G in lasagna. And I know there's some people hearing me right now saying, okay, Kevin, life is meaningless. So you just have to go out and create your own meaning. You just decide that you're going to be the best teacher, the best farmer, the best widget maker that you can be. But the question is, why? 7'3" actor Peter Mayfield, who played Chewbacca in all those Star Wars movies, died last April the 30th. And he really did make a really good Wookiee. But a million years from now, not one single person will ever remember anything he did, and then nobody will care. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 11. So what he did, what does it matter? Well, Kevin, life is about helping people and reaching out and trying to make the world a better place and making a difference. Says who? See, if there is no God, and there's no right or wrong, and there's no life after death, nothing makes a difference. You could help starving people in Africa. You could be a serial killer. A million years from now, all the good or bad that you did and all the people that you did it to will be long gone and forgotten. And they won't matter. See the sign? Life is meaningless and then you die. That's pretty much it. Atheist Charles Nagel says this. Even if you produce a great piece of literature which continues to be read thousands of years from now, eventually, the solar system will cool and the universe will wind down and collapse and all trace of your effort will vanish and won't matter at all in dead, cold, silent, endless, uncaring space. And after you have gone out of existence, it won't matter that you ever even existed at all. Have a nice day. And you know why? Because in a meaningless world without God, you're not going anywhere. But see, Jesus Christ changed all that. Jesus tells us exactly where we're going because Jesus shows us there is life after death. And I'm not talking about that stupid Lion King Hakuna Matata circle of life claptrap. That's Hinduism. And life doesn't go in a circle. Life goes in a straight line. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 tells us, death is not the end. Judgment and heaven and hell, that's the end. You say, well, Kevin, other religions have ideas about life after death too. Yeah, but see, Jesus Christ proved only Christianity was true by rising from the dead and guaranteeing that you're going to rise from the dead one day too. And see, that's what makes this life meaningful. Because Revelation chapter 14 verse 13 says, our deeds will follow us. Which means every single thing we do in this life really does matter and really does make a difference. And especially because God is going to remember it and we're going to be judged based on it and we're going to be rewarded for it. So folks, during this life, we're not just wasting time popping bubble wrap and munching on the popcorn of our futility. We're going somewhere. We Christians who are trusting in Jesus Christ are going to a place of paradise called heaven. People who are not Christians, who are not trusting in Jesus Christ, they're going to a place of suffering called hell. And don't tell me that people don't have a sense of that life after death in their hearts. Steve Jobs absolutely revolutionized the tech industry and changed forever the way human beings communicate with each other all over the world. iTunes, iPhone, iPad, he was technological God. But sadly enough, at age 33, Steve Jobs made a conscious decision to turn his back on Jesus Christ and he became a Zen Buddhist. But then in 2009, right after he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, Steve Jobs said this, "It's strange to think you accumulate all this experience in life and then you die and it just goes away. So I really want to believe that something survives death. For something as significant as human beings, it can't be that death is just the click of an off switch and then you're gone." But then when Steve Jobs died, October of 2011, these were the very last words that he said. "Oh my. Oh my. Oh my." And his daughter said it was as if he was seeing something that he wanted no part of whatsoever. Heaven or hell? You tell me. Well, Kevin, it sounds like heaven is a really hard place to get into. No, it's not. In fact, it's a lot easier than you would ever think. Last July the 20th was the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11, the first lunar landing, when astronaut Neil Armstrong became the first human being to ever set foot on the surface of the moon, July 20th, 1969. And all of us old people here still remember where we were when we saw that on TV. But most Americans had no idea how close those astronauts really were to not making it. First of all, right after they achieved lunar orbit, when the Eagle lunar module unlocked from the command module, residual pressure pushed the Eagle out a lot faster than expected, which meant those astronauts overshot their original landing site by about 4 miles, which means they had to find another flat place to set down amidst all the boulders and all the craters. Then the landing computer started to overload. And because they were burning a lot more fuel than originally planned, they were running out of juice. This close to what they call dead man's curve, an altitude that you reach where there's not yet enough time to abort before you crash and die. But then Command Central in Houston got the computer fixed. And then Neil Armstrong announced the Eagle has landed with just 30 seconds of fuel left in the tank. Whew. But then when they sat down, ice started accumulating in the fuel line, plugging it up, which meant fuel vapor was being heated by the engine. They could have been blown to kingdom come. But then the ice melted. And God saved them again. And as the Lunar Eagle module started setting down and started descending, everybody held their breath because nobody had any idea what the surface of the moon was really like. Or how deep the dust level really was. Or whether there weren't jagged boulders underneath that would wreck that module. Or whether or not it would act like quicksand and just suck them up and kill those astronauts. Those astronauts went on that trip knowing full well they could have died. And there was no exit strategy. There was no plan B. There was no emergency contingency plan in place to go get them if they got in trouble. President Richard Nixon watched the whole thing on TV from the Oval Office in the White House. In his hand, he held a speech that was given to him that he was supposed to read to the American people if those three astronauts had been killed. That's how hairy that mission was. And because nobody had any idea if there were any germs or microbes on the surface of the moon, when the astronauts got back, they were held in quarantine for 17 days before they finally were let go. See, those astronauts knew where they were going. They just weren't sure that they were going to get there. Well, Christians, we know where we're going to. We're going to heaven. And we are sure that we're going to get there. Because Jesus Christ is going to take us there. And we don't have to risk our lives to get us there because Jesus already gave His life to get us there. And we don't need a rocket or a space module because Jesus is going to take us there by His own power on a cloud in the twinkling of an eye at warp 9. And Jesus knows how to get there because He is from there. And we're going to nail our landing site, which is a four-square city made of solid gold, and we don't have to worry about any dust because Revelation 21:27 says there will be nothing impure there. And we don't have to worry about any germs or microbes because we are going to be giving brand new spiritual bodies on the way up. And folks, once we get to heaven, we're there to stay. So even though heaven is a lot further away than the moon, it's easier to get to. And Christians, one day we are going to be there. And faith will become sight. And that eternity in our hearts will finally be satisfied because Revelation chapter 21 verse 3, He will be with us. And we will see Him as He is. And death and mourning and crying and pain and the old order of things will have passed away. We Christians know exactly where we're going. The only question is, what about the rest of you? And I know that there's some people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon thinking, Kevin, all that stupid stuff about purpose and meaning and significance, that's for idiots. That's for dime store philosophers. That's for college professors. Really? Because don't tell me you don't think about it once in a while either. Don't tell me that in those rare quiet moments of your life, that thought does not come into your head. There's got to be more than life than what I'm seeing now. Don't tell me when you lay in bed at night, staring up at that dark ceiling right before you go to sleep, that thought does not come into your head. Something's missing. Something's missing. And I need to tell you today, what's missing is not something. What's missing in your life is someone. And that someone is Jesus. I don't care how much fun you have. I don't care how much of a blast or a blowout you have with friends or family. It doesn't last. And there's always that awareness inside of you that it doesn't last. And no matter how much fun you have, there's always that thought in the back of your mind that it could have been better. It should have been different. I was expecting more. You know where that thought comes from? It comes from God. He created that in you. He created within you a dissatisfaction for everything in this world. So that you would take that feeling, that thought, and use it to seek Him and find Him. Because you were created for something more. You were created for Him. So the only question is, when are you going to turn to Him and find out that real meaning and purpose and find that life that He really created you to have? And you need to think about that decision because it affects every single thing that you do, including the most important thing of all, and that's where you're going to spend forever. Why Jesus? Because only Jesus Christ gives us real meaning and purpose in life. Today, you come to Christ and you find out what life is really all about. Let's pray. Lord, I am praying for one person listening to this sermon right now. One man, one woman, one boy, one girl who's never trusted You as their Savior, who is living this life for all the wrong reasons, all the wrong motives, all the wrong purposes. Lord, there are so many wonderful things in this life to enjoy, but above them all is You. And I pray, Lord, You just help us take our eyes off of all these things, all the things that distract us in this world, and focus on You. And I just pray for one unbeliever today, Lord, that they would turn their eyes to Jesus. They would confess their sins, put their faith in what You did for them on the cross 2,000 years ago to pay the price for your sin and create a relationship with You. Pray, Lord, that they would just know that purpose in life, knowing and serving Christ. All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.